Cliff Levingston has joined us on Sports Byline USA. The one part of the Chicago Bulls machine we haven't talked about is Phil Jackson. Tell me a little bit about his emergence and how he fit into the whole plan.
Well, Phil was a mastermind at knowing his players. You know, he wasn't the genius for the X and the O's or the defensive side of it. He was great at managing egos and players and putting them in the place where everyone understood what he wanted from them, and when you didn't do something, you knew you didn't do it right because he knew how to yank your chain and pull you back and let you understand what is that's not what I want. I want this from you. You know, I remember, you know, my first season with Chicago, and I was playing a lot in the beginning of the season. In the middle of the season, I wasn't playing as much, and I was getting kind of upset, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, I think he's trying to hold me back from, you know, getting that next contract. So I went to his office and I talked to him. You know, I said, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. You're not playing me much. I'm not involved as much as I was in the beginning. You know, is it because I'm contract year coming up? He said, no, it's not that, Cliff. I said, well, what is it? Tell me. He said, well, you play better against Eastern Conference teams than the Western Conference teams. Western Conference teams are more up and down. Eastern Conference teams are banging and grinding. You're a bang and grind kind of guy. And I understood what he was saying, and it made sense. So that told me he really knew his players and knew what situation I'll be good in and what situation I wouldn't be good in. And he tried to put his players in situations where they could shine their best. And that's the kind of coach Phil was. And I respect him a lot for understanding each and every player, because that's a hard thing to do, to know what each player is going to give you every night in every situation. And he knew that, you know. When he had Dennis Rodman, you know, all the other coaches. There's only two coaches who really handled Dennis Rodman well. One was Chuck Daly, and the other one was Phil Jackson, because he told him what he wanted, and did what he said he was going to do, and left it at that. A lot of the other coaches don't understand Rodman. They let him do what he wanted to do, and you know, and accept whatever he's doing. Phil was not that. Rodman liked the discipline that Phil had on him, and he responded to that, and he did well.
I also thought that Phil Jackson's strength was the fact that he didn't get too high, didn't get too low, and was consistent, and he always let the players know what he expected out of them. Am I correct in that observation?
You are so correct. You know, Phil's thing was, the first three quarters, you guys are going to manage yourself. The last quarter is more of my input, where my chess moves come into play. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And this is the order we're going to do it, and this is how we're going to do it. If you deviate from that, I will find someone else who will do what I want to do and get it done. So he was very good at letting guys know exactly what he wanted from them and when he wanted from them, when he wanted it. When you didn't do something right, you heard a whistle, and you knew the whistle means you messed up, and you got to figure it out.
Cliff Levingston is with us. And, of course, Cliff, a two-time NBA champion with those Chicago Bulls. Cliff, I know that there have been a lot of great players across the spectrum of sports that have had great careers but have not won championships. You won two NBA championships. When you look back on those championships, what do they mean to you? Because I think what they mean to an athlete is different from what it might mean to a fan or the media.
Well, you know, that was one of my goals when I first got to the league, was to play at least 4 years. I accomplished that goal. My next was to play in the NBA Finals. Well, you know, we almost, you know, well, Conference Finals. And we almost got to the Conference Finals with the Atlanta Hawks and the Boston Celtics. Well, then they changed the team up, and then we went south instead of north. So that's when I started looking for championship-caliber teams. Chicago Bulls was one. So, you know, winning a Chicago Bulls championship, it meant the world to me, because I always wanted to win a championship. High school, I never won a championship. College, I never won a championship. So this was my first and only championship with the Chicago Bulls. You know, winning that, you know, I always tell everybody, so what does it mean to you? It means blood, sweat, and tears. Plenty of times I bled on the court, I sweated my butt off, and I cried plenty of times from not winning or getting close. So that's what it means to me, blood, sweat, and tears.
Your career finished up in the NBA with the Denver Nuggets, but sandwiched in between leaving the Bulls and finishing up with Denver, you went and played in Greece and also Italy. What type of mindset did you have to take in order to make that adjustment?
Well, that's a totally different adjustment. You know, I went to Greece, and all of a sudden I became the Michael Jordan of Thessaloniki. And it was like everything I did and everything I said was magnified, scrutinized, flipped over, turned around. So it went from being a role player to being a leader, you know. And when I got there, it was hard to adjust it because the game was a little bit different. You know, people think basketball is played the same, but different places in different countries is played differently. And you have to adjust your game to play accordingly. You know, in Greece, certain moves I was doing in the NBA were traveling. But I can do another move and it'd be traveling in the NBA, but it's good in Greece. So you have to learn to adjust your game. Then you have to learn to make the players believe in you, because when they bring you over there, you're the hired gun. You're the main cog in the wheel. If you're not getting it done, the rest is not going to happen, and it falls back on you. You know, and you know, I was told when I first went over there, well, if you see somebody sitting in the stands, it's possibly another foreign player or American, it's possibly they're coming after your job. So you're not doing something right. So I always took that into consideration. When I played my hardest. I tried to help my team out and also tried to do things with my team to make them feel that I'm not better than them. I'm in the trenches with you and I'm going to be in the trenches with you. And we had a pretty successful year. You know, we went to the Final Four of the European Cup, and we lost to Canoa Bologna, to Tony Kukoc's team, by 8 points, I think it was. But we had a great year. And that's the furthest they've been in the European Cup. And, you know, to this day, you know, people in Greece still write me and talk to me about the season that they had, and they thank me for coming over there at that time. And it's like 20-something years later, and I'm like, wow, you still remember it like it was yesterday. You know, so I enjoyed my time when I went overseas, but I had to make that adjustment of being the man and everything falling on my shoulders.
Cliff, I've had some friends, basketball players, that went over to Greece and played, and they have shared some of the stories, the funnier ones. And a friend of mine said one time, he said there were some players that weren't making too much money, and they made more money with the coins that were thrown on the floor than they did in their paycheck. Give me a feel for what the atmosphere was like in Greece playing over there.
Well, my first day, I landed, and it was like everybody's at the airport, and, you know, then there's people lined up down the street. I go from there, go to the hospital for my physical. I get my physical done, and then I go to the gym where they have practice. They said, well, you don't have to practice. Well, I walk into practice. I mean, it's full of people. People are in there watching, waiting to see me practice and waiting for practice to start. I'm like, wow. So I put my stuff on and start practicing. And, I mean, it was like they said, I changed everything. Now they expect all the Americans to come over there and go to practice. And, you know, it was like, wow. You know, then my first game there, you know, you go out, you warm up and everything. Then you go back in. And then when you come back, when I came back out, the whole top of the stadium was full of smoke because they are avid smokers. So by halftime, I'm gasping for air trying to figure out, how in the world I'm going to finish the second half? They said, Cliff, you got to go in the locker room, breathe through a towel, and then help clear up your lungs, then you can play. I said, okay. I did that. I had a great second half. But it was my first experience. It was traumatic. I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do this. Every night it's going to be like this. But I ended up adjusting, you know. And then with the coins, they call it a coin shower. You know, they had coins big as half dollars and silver dollars. You know, for the old people who understand what that means. But it was when a referee made a bad call against the home team, they start throwing coins at the opposing team. When that first happened, I scared the life out of me. And my teammate, his name was Kenny Barlow, played at Notre Dame. He said, Cliff, when you see a coin shower, you hear the whistling, go stand by the home team's bench, because they're not going to throw coins at the home team. So, you know, you learn things that as you go. You got to pick up quickly or you're going to be in trouble. And that was, you know, I enjoyed it because it was funny to watch. You know, you go to a court and you look, first thing you look down at the floor and see if there's a bunch of dents in the floor. If they are, then you know this is a place you're going to get coin showered.
Cliff, I want to thank you very much. You've been so insightful and so articulate talking about your 13-year career and taking us inside basketball and really giving the listeners around the world an opportunity to really understand what the professional basketball player goes through. And I can't thank you enough for that, because I think that's one of the special things. I've always said that the listeners cannot relate to the athlete on a professional level, but they certainly can on a human level. Cliff, you are welcome back here anytime. Take care, my friend.
Well, thank you. You take care, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, Cliff Levingston with us again, two-time NBA champion. He won those two championships with the Chicago Bulls. He played on the first two Michael Jordan championship teams. We continue around the world with you on America's Sports Talk Show.